This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu and you're listening to Her Vantage, and this is where we speak to women of influence and leadership. With me today is Datimina Chia, the Managing Director of The Body Shop Malaysia. Now, Datimina and The Body Shop brand is recognised for their effort in empowering women, fighting for the environment and their sustainable business practices. It's been 35 years, Datimina, so I want you to take me back when you first saw this brand and what made you decide to bring it to Malaysia.
Okay, when I was a student in the UK, I used to go down to London and Covent Garden was my favourite area to walk about. And I saw this store that had Greenpeace posters. And I was thinking, hey, what's this store with Greenpeace? Because I was a member of Greenpeace. So I walked in and it turned out to be a cosmetic store. And that really captured my imagination because at that time, 35 years ago, lipsticks and quite a few cosmetics were actually made out of whale oil and used animal ingredients. Musk was from the deer and so on. So, but this store was completely against animal testing and the use of any animal ingredients in its business. And they were campaigning with Greenpeace to save the whales. Mm. So I bought a face cream and I loved it. And I used to then buy it as gifts for friends and so on. And when I came back to Malaysia, I was still using it. I used to badger anybody who was flying back to the UK to ask them to bring my creams and things back for me. And after a while, I realised that I couldn't be the only one in the whole of Malaysia who gone to study in the UK, love this brand and cannot find it anymore. So, light bulb moment.
Right.
Why don't I start up this business?
Were you in business before that, though?
Never. Okay. I was actually working as a systems engineer with Hewlett-Packard.
Right.
I never ever thought I would be a retailer. I actually did a degree in computer science and management studies. So when I told my dad that I was going to go and stop working with this really good firm and go and start a little business, and my dad says, wow, I sent you to the university. I paid a lot of money for your education and you want to come and sell lotions and shampoos and face creams. So I said, it's okay, Dad. If I don't make it, I can always go back and get a job.
Right.
Okay. But it's okay. I think you'll be all right.
Now, when you brought that brand to Malaysia, that whole thinking, right? It would have been quite radical 35 years ago.
Yes. In fact, why I love this brand, apart from anything else, it could have been a burger, it could have been whatever it was, but I wanted this brand because it really spoke to my soul.
Okay.
It really spoke to the kind of values that I held. I love animals. Mm. And I thought this whole idea about not being cruel to animals because it's unscientific, it's inaccurate.
It's cruel.
And it's cruel. Mm. So all of that and using natural ingredients, using plants and flowers to make your products, that really appealed to me. And I love this whole campaigning idea that Anita at that time, Anita Roddick, the founder of The Body Shop, was trying to do to get people to understand that creams, and you need them, right? Because dry skin and so on and so forth. But it's not the end all and be all. You know, a face cream is not going to change your life. But your values, what you believe in your heart, you know, to be universal truths, those are the things that will change your life. And she was able to connect a business, face creams, with the bigger picture in life, climate change, global warming, you know, CFCs and the ozone layer and animal extinction.
Right.
All of these things were in this jar that we sell from the Body Shop.
Right.
Not the cream, not the extra ingredient, not the special, very expensive, whatever you cannot get except from my brand kind of thing. But it was things like climate change. It was things like women's rights. Mm. It was things like child marriage. It was things like equality.
Right.
Those were the things that we put into our bottles
right.
that really appealed to me.
So when you buy this, you're actually actually, you know, speaking for a cause, supporting a cause.
Yes. You know, and she had this radical idea, even until today, that you as a consumer have the power of your wallet to make your voice heard. A lot of people today think, I'm only one person. What can I do? I can't really do so much. But now with choice, with the kind of conscious consumerism that you can practice, you can effect a lot of change. If you go around, people call me a busybody because I will go around and I will say, hey, why you do like that? Why don't you do this? You know, how come you are using so much plastic? You know, it's okay. I don't. And as a consumer, people listen. I'm telling you this, you know, I own a whole retail business. But I'm telling you this, we listen to our consumers. Right. Everybody wants to reach out to their customer, be relevant to your customer. And as a customer, you have that power. If you can go and tell your brand that you are supporting that, hey, I would like you to be a little bit more
conscious,
right? You know, and a bit more aware of the environment, a bit more invested in sustainability. And sustainability is not your profits, huh? Sustainability is about your relationship with the planet, with the world, because businesses are still just only getting into the idea of sustainability. I attended a conference once, and on the panel with me, we were talking about sustainability, and on the panel with me was this gentleman, and he was talking about how to make more money for your business,
right,
and nothing at all about anything else. And I was thinking, are we on the same panel? So it's a learning process. But now, you know, with things like the haze, I know it's terrible and it's awful that it's happened, but it's raised people's consciousness about the environment. You didn't cause the haze. You didn't do anything to start a fire, but everybody suffered equally.
Right.
Rich, poor, old, young, everybody suffered. All of a sudden, that was such an effective demonstration of the butterfly effect.
Right.
You know, and all of a sudden, I think people realize that, hey, we're all in this together. When Mother Nature bites back, she bites everybody.
You know, one of the things that you also started way back in 2008, no plastics.
Ah, yes.
You know, and this was like, you know, before it became fashionable. And there was also a business element to it as well. Tell me about it. Because I heard about it. I said, wow. I was thinking, 2008, not very acceptable then.
Oh,
but you did it anyway.
Yes, absolutely not. We decided because how I get my ideas is that I actually engage a lot with NGOs. They are actually my moral compass because they have issues and causes, you know, that's much deeper than my regular understanding of how the world works. So plastics was a big issue for us. And I was looking at it and I was thinking, we have to do something about it. I cannot be here talking about saving the environment and still be giving out plastic bags to everybody. So in 2008, we instituted this program called Kick the Bag Habit. And big pushback. People were upset. Customers were saying, what, you stupid? I buy so many things from you.
Don't give me plastic.
How am I going to carry my things back? Because we also made them pay 50 cents for the bag.
Right.
So we devised this 100% recycled paper bag.
Right.
And we ask customers that if you, do you need a bag? If you need a bag, we would ask you to donate 50 cents to this environmental fund. And if you didn't need a bag, we, the Body Shop, would donate 50 cents on your behalf to this same environmental fund. So we started that. And there was a lot of pushback. We had to train our staff. The poor staff in the shop were really getting it walloped left, right and centre. But, you know, they persevered because they understand. They got what we were trying to do. So in the end, what we did was that if a customer was really upset, you know, we would the staff would say to the customer, it's okay, sir, I will donate 50 cents on your behalf. It's okay. And I should pack the things up in the bag and give it. And instantly, you would see the customer's face change, you know. The realization that, hey, folks, it's only 50 cents. And if
it's
this
for a cause.
It's for a cause. And if this girl who's earning maybe a tenth of your salary, and she's willing to donate 50 cents from her the change came about. So we persevered, we pushed forward and we said, so we phased out plastic bags and we started using these 100% recycled paper bags. And it's been good for the business because although our transactions have grown up and we would normally have to give up one bag per transaction, the number of bags that we produce since 2008 until now has remained about the same. So in terms of production cost, it's remain the
same.
You see,
and that's very interesting because I looked at your, you know, you shared the figures, you shared the chart and everything, and it's like, it's that long-term vision and people sometimes cannot see that, right? And it also on your part as well, you know, I mean, having to wait through that and not, it's not instant, but you believed in it.
Yes, correct. When you work with issues on the environment, it takes a long time. How many years does it take a tree to grow? And that's the kind of time horizon you need to have if you want, if you choose to work on the environment. Long, because for forests to regenerate, for tigers to revive from their 200 left in Malaysia, Malayan tigers, it will take my lifetime.
Right.
But there are other issues in terms of sustainability that you can work on that has far faster impact. Your own processes, your own production. If you look at, if you're a manufacturer, for example, you could look at reducing your carbon footprint. Could be as simple as putting in filters. It could be as simple as collecting back your effluents. And that one has got immediate impact. Simple things like switching off the lights, turning your aircon off, you know, these have an immediate impact on your electricity bill. So whether you are a huge business, then you get bigger savings, or whether you're a small saver, you still get savings relative to your business. So some things are quite immediate. Using less water, using less power, you know, changing your processes in your office, doing away with disposable plastics and cups and so on. Not serving water in water bottles when clients or customers come to visit you. Simple change, big impact, because, you know, everybody comes, unscrews that water bottle, has one sip, puts it down and then leaves. And then you go throw the entire bottle of thing in. So there are big and small impacts, long term, short term. This one initiative that we've done will not change the entire world. But if we can get more people to come on board, then it can. Because I'm stopping my plastics to go out, but I'm only one company. But if you look now, statistics are showing that we are, I think, in the top 10 polluters of plastic in the world. And it's come to this sad stage where microplastics are going into our food chain. You find microplastics in ikan bilis. Last time it was only the big things. You know, this funny story about sharks. When we first started campaigning for anti-shark finning, you can eat the shark, please, but consume the entire shark, not just the fins. And, you know, I had some friends, these big tycoon type people who were saying, hey, sharks eat people, so we should eat sharks. I say, fine, but eat the entire shark, not just the fin. Oh, we only want the big fins and so on. Fine, big fins, big mercury content. So now, you know, I mean, that's shark sharks biting back,
right?
You eat the big fins, you get a lot more mercury. So now, all the tycoons are not eating any shark's fin. Wedding dinners don't have shark's fin. But that took a lot of campaigning. It took a lot of convincing. And to their credit, you know, people in the hotels are now no longer offering shark's fin as their first choice menu when they... That's what we were asking for. I know it's an income generating, but at the end of the day, you got to draw a line.
Yeah.
You know, you can make money, but make it with a conscience.
Heart of an activist, mind of a business person, that's what you say. Where do you draw the boundaries? We'll discuss that in just a moment. I'm here with Datin Minachia from The Body Shop Malaysia. You're listening to Her Vantage, BFM 89.9.
Banana from Malaysia. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
The This is Her Vantage on Enterprise. Good morning. This is Fria Liu. I'm speaking to Datin Mina Chia from The Body Shop Malaysia. Of course, Her Vantage is where we speak to women of influence and leadership, and that's something she's done in the last 35 years, bringing the brand to Malaysia. So you've grown to over 550 staff with 89 outlets, right? I want to talk a little bit more about the other causes, and you touch everything from the environment to women, right? And this is what the International Day of the Girl, that's the latest campaign. How are you involved in that? Why is that important to you?
You know, it's really the intention is for us to ensure that girls dream big, that they can dream and achieve their dream. And as women, as a woman of influence, I think of my job as empowering and enabling them. It's easy to say, oh, empower them. Wait, what? How? What are the tools that you give someone? You know, you cannot just walk up to a girl and say, I empower you. You know, now go forth and exercise. You know, so we have to, as women in positions of influence like yourself, Rita, we can actually give them a voice, we can give them a platform, and we can make sure that there are opportunities for girls and women to move up in to achieve their dreams. You know, when I started, my dream was, when I was a young girl, my dream was just to be independent, have a house, have a car, have a little apartment and all that. And that was my dream. Fine, I didn't know what I was going to be. But when I became a teenager and my parents said, you must be serious. What are you going to do when you go to university? So I decided, oh, I like to go to space. So I think maybe I join NASA because this will be the best chance I have. So I actually went to university and did a degree in computer science. But look at me now. I'm actually retailing skincare, hair care, shampoos, conditioners, right? So it doesn't matter, right? But at every stage of your life, you need to have a dream. And we as adults have got to keep that dream alive for girls. We need to make sure that they are in school, that they stay in school, that they are safe and they have choices that they can make. And, you know, and these, and we dispel the myths and open up the arena for girls to rise up. If they choose to be wives and mothers, more power to you. But if you choose to be a corporate woman, stay single all your life, more power to you, right? And that's what we need to do with women. We need to support them. We need to make sure that their options are wide. You can be whatever. You want to be a dog trainer, stay at home, look after your kids. And
so be
go,
it.
So be it. And that is the whole point of International Day of the Girl, to get them to dream big, and for us, big girls, to enable the environment for little girls to dream big.
You know, like the other thing that you were involved with was Save the Tigers campaign, right? And it's like, you know, it's a whole, and you tie it back to business as well. How did you manage to do that?
It must start from the heart. If it only starts from the head, it's very hard to sustain and justify and all that. So one with the Tigers, it's something that's very close to my heart. Tigers, Malayan tigers, are on the brink of extinction. And this is a species that's endemic only to Malaysia. And for us to allow it to go the way of the leatherback turtle is such a crying shame. So what we've done is that we've put the visual of the tiger, and we've used our bags, our kick the bag habit, as a messaging board, as a means of communicating that tigers are in such a dire state. I think Malaysians, they generally care, but because there's so many things on their minds, tigers are not top of mind for in terms of things to save, right? But once we get this out, once we get out the fact that there's a lot of poaching going on and that there's a lot of things that we can actually do to give the tigers a better chance, then people take action. Yeah. We had a hotline on the bags for people to report about poaching activities that they know, people who eat all this wild game and all these kind of things. And when we were doing that campaign with traffic, their call line went up from 2 or 3 a year to hundreds.
Wow.
And that's the effectiveness of this campaign. So we use our stores and our staff as a channel of communication and information sharing with our customers. And I believe customers, they come into our stores and it's more than just buying your creams and more than just buying your lotions and so on. It's all of these things as well. And we give customers an avenue to express their thoughts and their feelings and their passions.
Do you translate that into sales? How did you translate that into sales? And was that a focus in a way.
Okay, no, never. It costs me money. Okay. It costs me money to run this campaign. But the big picture is that this is what we do.
It's the value of your brand.
It's the value of our brand. It's the differentiator of our brand. Like women's rights. Mm. For a battered woman, the last thing on her mind is shopping. Her husband is bashing her. Her kids are in danger. Last thing on her mind, child marriage. Little girls being forced to marry men. Yeah. So the last thing on their mind, they have no money, they have no power. Last thing is shopping. But the thing is, this is why I started my business. This is what I want to do with the business. Not all things generate money. Not everything is as neat as a kick the bag habit.
Right.
But these are important things. If we don't improve the lot of women, women are my major customers, 85% of my customers are women. If I don't improve the livelihoods, the potential of my customer base, my potential customer base, how am I going to be able to ensure that my business thrives? What we do in terms of empowering women, in making sure that the scope for women and the environment for women is as wide as that of men,
right,
that helps my business in the long run.
Right. So, okay, now The Body Shop is not just Malaysia. You have the rights to two other countries?
Yes, Vietnam and Cambodia.
What's that market like?
Okay, Vietnam is tremendous. It's a really exciting market for us because there are 90 million Vietnamese, young, engaged, learning. Almost every Vietnamese you speak on the street is learning English, going to night school. They are really a nation on the move.
Mm.
And retailing in Vietnam is not as advanced as in Malaysia. There are not that many shopping malls, but it is coming up. You see the change. Every month when I go to Vietnam, I see differences, improvements in the shopping standards, in the store display standards. So it's really moving. So Vietnam is very interesting for us. And we have 30 over stores in Vietnam now. We've been there for 10 years.
Mm.
So we've got 30 over stores. So what we're intending to do in Vietnam is to accelerate our store opening. We find more shopping malls being built, and that is a good thing for us because then it provides us with more viable locations. Cambodia is greenfield. We are going to open our first store in the top shopping mall in Phnom Penh on the 1st of November.
Right.
And that's very exciting for us as well.
Okay. So, and in terms of, you're opening all these stores, what about e-commerce? How does that play for The Body Shop?
We are moving towards true omni-channel so that you can shop online, offline, and at your customer's convenience. Mm-hmm. So e-com is a very important part of our business in both our markets and, of course, in Cambodia as well when we start up. We dominate the cosmetics and toiletries e-commerce section. But having said that, it's still only 1.8% of my business because cosmetics and toiletries, people want to touch and feel. Perfume, I can describe the perfume to you. However, you need to put it on your skin because everybody has got a different skin and it will come out smelling slightly different. So people still want to test their cosmetic products and so on. And in Malaysia, we are so well covered. We love our malls in Malaysia.
Mm.
But in Vietnam, for example, where the infrastructure for shopping is less developed, e-com is very important. E-com for us in Vietnam is about 8% of our total business and growing. Vietnam has just leapfrogged. Mm. They haven't gone the traditional route of landlines and so on.
Yeah, they went straight
off into digital.
Yeah.
So Vietnam has taken off in a big way and it's a growing part of our business.
So like you see a lot of brands now also with this similar message, right? And how do you view competition?
Competition has always been there, and competition is good. It allows customers a point of reference. It allows comparison. Because if you are the only one, people come and say, why are you so expensive? And then you find so many other brands now doing naturals, and they are even more expensive. So customers now no longer come and tell me that you're so expensive because they see the other brand also doing naturals, but so much more expensive. So it's good in that sense that it's less... they help us explain and they help widen the opportunities and the choices for customers.
You know, like 550 staff, right? What do you do in terms of attracting them and retaining them?
Okay, there was a survey that was done by employers, I think the HR, resources people, and we are, for retail, we are one of the top graduates employer brand. So we, of course, try to attract the best talent that we have, and we are finding that it's becoming easier for us because talent is coming to us from the heart perspective. They are doing a job where they feel that they are making an impact, a difference. And that's what people want. So, you know, we are finding that more and more young people are coming in. But for that aspect of big heart, we also need you to have a smart brain and very active hands.
Okay. Okay. Final question. Future plans.
Well, we are expanding. We are on the path to hopefully an IPO, and that really is for us to enable us to share this business that we have with our stakeholders, with our staff, with our customers, and to enable them to participate and truly be have a stake in this business that they've been supporting for 35 years. So, and my personal motivation is an ambition is to try and be an example that you can be a business that makes profits with principles, that you can make a lot of money without damaging the environment. You can be profitable, but be supporting women. The gender issue should not play into your business decisions, right? But for this time being, in Malaysia, women need support. We need gender equity, not just equality, you know?
Right.
So what I'm doing now for future is that, you know, I want to push these, all these agendas, you know, so many things to do, so short time and you know, so little resources, but there are many, many issues that we can do. And for other businesses, you can choose.
Right.
You do what you have. Don't wait. Don't wait for the government to start something. Don't wait for your supplier to be able to do this. Whatever is in your capacity, whatever you can do, do.
Right. Thank you for the work you do. I've really enjoyed this this interview. Thank you for being with us. I've been speaking to Dr. Mina Chia from The Body Shop, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.